sermon. I've entitled the sermon today, First Things First. Now, I kind of said it earlier, not first things as in it's my first Sunday, it's the first of something new. Actually, practically speaking, first things first. Now, we've kind of heard a little bit about what I'm going to be speaking on with actually Brenda's testimony, with trying to do stuff, not sure, God's thinking, first things first, what, pray about this, or give it to me. And so, I want to start, before we get into Matthew, I want to share a true story to help with this first things first practical story. So, I've got two sons that both serve in ministry by God's grace, coming from me and Sandra. They got good stuff from Sandra, they got all the bad stuff, I suppose, from the old me. Anyway, some of you don't know this, but during the terror attacks on London Bridge, both of my sons were involved. Not actually in doing that, they were nearly victims. So they were taking a selfie on the bridge as the van was coming and hitting people. So my four of them, two of them my sons, were literally 15 foot away from this van heading towards them. On the news they said the van swerved. Well, that swerve missed my two sons. Absolute true story. I was in Denmark on mission with Sandra at the time and could have lost both my sons right there. By God's grace, I didn't. And for what reason, only God knows. And so after this, so quickly getting through the story, my oldest son, who worked for a law firm at the time, he went through a really difficult time. So as a young Christian man, doing well, was never a bad kid. Now he's got into a really bad time and he started to do things he shouldn't, and he was medicating with drugs and drink, and this is someone who never does this stuff. Now for us, now my prayers and my prayer life went through the roof, because it's my child. I don't want anything to happen to my child. Now at this time, God had called me again on mission. And my first thing was, wait a sec. Doesn't Timothy say a man that can't take care of his own household isn't fit for ministry? Or a man that doesn't take care of his own is even worse than an unbeliever? And I argued with God, why would I want to do anything right now when my son's like this? And I never forget the feeling I felt of, this is what you need to do. And I couldn't put the two together. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Why am I leaving the country and leaving my son in such a terrible state? And I was in so much turmoil. In the end, I committed and I said, okay, Lord, I have to believe this is you. I go away, I went to the States on mission. And it was at that time when I was speaking at a church and I was sharing the testimony of how I'm here sharing in America while my son's at home struggling. And some people found that quite hard to deal with. And I said, yes, me too. But I have to believe this is what God's doing. Snapshot, 3 months later, my son was with me in America. Here's the story. God had spoken to me. I went home from this trip and I said to my son, because we fought, because I was so scared of what was happening to him. As a dad, I did the wrong thing where we just completely were at odds with each other. And God had showed me what to do. And he said, Martin, stop coming at him. He doesn't need that. I know you're scared as his dad, but I know what I want to do. And I said to him, quit your job. And he looked at me and said, but what? I said, quit your job. Come with me and we'll go back on the road and come into ministry with me. Now, me and my son never had that relationship. We went on mission together, and this will fit. And there was some churches was doing Thanksgiving dinner for the homeless. And I remember thinking, I want to be involved in this. So me and my son found a church that was doing it and said, hey, we're here kind of like missionaries. We want to help. How can we be a blessing? And they were so excited. There was about four or five churches. While we was at this event feeding the homeless, there was a worship team trying to kind of get together. Now, my son's in worship, so I immediately was like, Aaron, you know, go and help them. And he's like, oh, I don't know them, you know, I'm a bit. I said, listen, just go and help them. It's your gift. So here's the story. He goes in there. The girl who's doing the worship, her dad's the pastor. Long story short, Aaron and Amanda meet. God moves. They get married. My son moves to America, and our first grandchild is born in America. Little did I know on the first trip when God's saying, come away, I'm going, this doesn't make sense. And God goes, trust me, it's going to make sense. First things first, trust me. First things first, let me, I'm not talking about me here, God, be first. Because sometimes he will do things that don't work. Now the second part of this story, with Aaron again, is this. Last year, we don't see him, we get to see them once a year when we travel. He's worked really hard, saved up all his money, and he's paid for him, he's got his children, he's paid for his wife, a lot of money. They've paid even for extras, you know, because it's colder over here than Texas, where they are, so warm weather. And gets to the airport, and we're so excited. Gets to the airport, gives them his passport, and they look at his passport, and they say, it's expired. And Aaron was stranded in America while his wife and my grandchild got to spend time with us while he was stranded. Why am I sharing that story? One thing Aaron didn't realize is that you can do everything. You can prepare. You can save, buy clothes, shoes, get ready, got tickets, got the family ready. And the one thing he should have made sure of, out of all everything else, his passport. And this is sometimes what we can inadvertently do when it comes to kingdom work and trusting God. One little detail cost him and he couldn't come over. And I'm sure he's embarrassed and he'll probably kill me if he knows I just shared this story with you. But it happens to us, doesn't it? So let's read through Matthew 6, 31 to 34. And I'm just going to show you some things here, because this kind of concept of seeking first the kingdom, which Penny shared a lovely story with me last week, that this is something your mum gave you, right, before you went up to college years ago, which then made me feel like, wow, am I meant to share this one? She's been in this game for so long. But I thought, I want to bring a practical explanation of what's being said here. So it starts with, in Matthew, as you know, saying, if you're going to do good stuff, don't do it so everyone sees it. If you're going to pray, don't do it so everyone sees you doing it. Okay? If you're going to do stuff, just do it quietly. You don't have to try and show off. And it starts off with this kind of God saying, look, just don't be braggadocious. I'm the one actually doing stuff. Okay? If you want a reward, you've got it, right? So he goes on. And then we have the model prayer that he gives us. This is how to pray. And then we come down to here, and it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. And he says this, and there are some questions that I want to prompt you with, because these are loaded questions that we skip through when we're reading this. But if you don't answer these questions, you won't get the fullness of what's happening in this story. And it says this. It says, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? What's more important on you right now, the clothes you've got on, or the actual body that's inside it? Now, you might go, so what? That's a loaded question. Have you ever paused to think about that? It could be the same in church, right? I don't remember if the building's doing well. As you know, we've got to fix it and stuff. But what about what's inside it? Because if no one comes into it, it's just a building. And he carries on. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And this is the question I want you to really pause on. Are you not of more value to me than they? See that power pause I just did there? It's really cool, isn't it? It kind of makes everyone go, well, I have to do something. Yeah. You have to ask yourself this question. Honestly, are you not of more value to God than birds or animals that are just being fed? They don't do anything. They don't work. They don't save. They don't want to be an accountant when they get older. They're just doing their thing. And yet they've got everything they want. We could actually moan about that, right? And think, that's not fair. How come that they get away with that? I don't get to just do what I want. And God's like, no, but are you not of more value to me than they are? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? This is actually not talking about height, it's talking about life. So why do you worry about clothing? And he goes on, and I want to move on from this, but I'm trying to get you to see something here. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then he adds, oh, of little faith. Meaning this. Is God giving you stuff because of your faith? Is God blessing you because of your faith? No, he's giving it to you because it's what a dad or what a father does with his children. Do I give my kids stuff because they worship me? No, because why? It's my responsibility to look after them. So God's showing us here, or Jesus is explaining here, that you trying to do stuff is not really needed. God's already has that. I just want you to seek me. That this is the whole argument here, and that's where I'm trying to get to. So he says here, don't worry about this, what shall we eat, what will we drink? And he goes on, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom, and this is where I want to start going into, and his righteousness, and all those things that the pagans just moan and want all the time, you'll just get them. We heard a story today, there you go, you got something, your story with the, oh, we're never going to get this appointment, that's never going to happen, boom, it happens. It's like, wow, how did that happen? It happens when you're a Christian, that stuff we expect to happen. Or should I say, not expect all the time, but we're not shocked when it happens. Why? Because it reminds us the God we serve. Okay, so let's just back up a little bit into Matthew, into 6. And I want to go to the model prayer. And this is something I want to show us. Because this is always referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And actually, we're the only ones that refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer. It's not the Lord, it's not for him, it's for us, right? So, just in case anyone goes, what do you mean? I'm not saying that. Any scholar would tell you that we keep calling it the Lord's Prayer, and it's not the Lord's Prayer. If you go through, that one's for us. I'll explain. He says, you, not him, you pray in this manner. Our Father, so here's the kickoff, which is great. Jesus starts with our Father, by the way. Not pray my Father, or that Father, our Father, right? So Jesus is including us. He's my dad and he's your dad. But then he separates. What's this? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And then he switches, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. So why is this his prayer? You see where it's going? Give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, forgive us for our sins or our debtors as we forgive those. Why am I sharing this with you? So in this prayer, some things are being established in seeking first the kingdom and righteousness. The prayer earlier is helping us. It's putting things in order. God is the one who's hallowed. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm not being mentioned anywhere in here. And it ends with, he delivers us. And it finishes with, for yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the power. And then the only bit with us in there is not being tempted, getting our bread daily, being forgiven, being delivered. Is anyone with me? I haven't lost anyone, have I, right? Have you ever read it like that before? Be honest. We don't. We just chant it off, don't we? Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I'm just saying it. I'm not pausing thinking, wait, what's really being said here? And the reason why that comes before seek ye first the kingdom, because that's the idea behind it. How do I seek first the kingdom? I seek first the kingdom, or like say coming to Underhill, how do I seek the kingdom? How do I do that here? Because I'm not a miracle worker. You haven't hired me because I'm a specialist in building churches. You've hired me because God's doing something and I'm doing the same thing, saying, okay, Lord, you're up. But how do we do that? This is our answer, and that's why I'm saying first things first. Now, here's a couple of things I want you to understand. So in Matthew Henry's commentary, he's given us a couple of warnings with this, right? And I'll read them to you. He says this: the important point is to remember that the righteousness of the kingdom of heaven is an inside-out process, which Jesus intentionally orients to counteract the hypocritical practices of those that would doing what they were doing at that time. So he's saying, we don't do things to show off. We're not wanting to be seen to be doing stuff. We're kind of people that do things on the quiet. Meaning what? I don't go moan. Well, sometimes I do, but I shouldn't. You don't moan to people about stuff. What we do, as Christians really, is we go quiet. And what do? We pray. We go to our Father and we don't go on the corner. I go into my house when no one's watching and I sit and I go, I don't know, like, what are we doing here? How do I work this one out? And God's like, brilliant, this is what I've been waiting for. Because running around and doing stuff is good, Martin. Yeah, run up the high road, try and meet people and try and organise events. But what I really want is for you to put first things first. What is? Come and talk to me. It's my kingdom. It's according to my will. You see the prayer? So I need to be forgiven. I need to have all these other things that are me, right? He carries on. One of the gravest dangers is to practice these disciplines in a way, we need to hear this, to gain approval of the people around us or to satisfy the expectations of the church tradition of which we're part of. Ooh, that's a difficult one, isn't it, here? Because we can do that. We can make the kingdom fit into our particular tradition and culture. And the kingdom's like, I don't fit into anybody's, you fit into mine. Everyone got that? I'm not saying we're doing away with our church tradition, so I don't want to scare anyone. But it goes that way, not the other way. It's inside out. It's the kingdom coming with its own force and ideas, and we kind of capture ourselves around that. And that's how we grow. And this will back this up. This is another grave danger, is to fall into the opposite trap, neglecting the practice of discipline, because we're frightened it's too legalistic. So there's the opposite. So what am I saying is the truth somewhere in the middle here. But always putting first things first. Seeking God and his righteousness. So I'm trying to give you a practical illustration of what that looks like. So let's look at it spiritually. So we're called to proclaim the gospel so that others may come to know Christ. Yeah? So Romans 10, I'm going to read some verses for you. Romans 10, verse 14 to 15. I haven't given these to anyone, but I can. If you want to look them up, you can. I'll read them to you. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So here it's a really silly thing. It's giving you an idea saying, well, how is anyone going to believe in him if someone doesn't go along and tell them? If someone doesn't go along and tell them, they won't hear it. So in Romans 10, it's given us this really practical outlay, common sense. That's why we have churches. That's why I'm here now. To preach. Not for you to hear me preaching. For me to preach this stuff from God's word. So people can hear it, so you can hear it, so then you can share it. And this keeps going. And then it goes on and says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news of peace, or the gospel of peace, which bring glad tidings. You know, God loves it, and he calls people's feet that beautiful. Why? Because they're moving, going to do what? To share the gospel, whether practically or orally, but they're sharing it. Socially, we reflect God's kingdom through justice, mercy, and humility. Micah 6:8. Most of us can quote this. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Mission, evangelism, church planting. No. What does he require? But do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. You could base your life just there, and everything around you, I reckon, would transform if you could master that. What does that look like? To do justly, to be just, to love mercy, be good, and then walk humbly. That's a difficult one today, I think, for most people. Especially in the world we live in. I want to share this quickly. In Texas, but I'll keep it in track. One of the things me and Sandra love about that part of America is everyone's so socially aware. Everyone. You can't even go into a supermarket. And someone's like 4 foot away from me, and they're like, excuse me, sir. And everyone's excuse me, and everyone's kind of aware, you know. And then even when they drive, you come to a four-way crossing, and you can see people watching, well, I think I'm next. I think he's going to go. So I'll go, then he'll go. And I always say to my friends in America, in the UK, that would be a free-for-all. I'm not messing around. It would be a free-for-all. Everyone would be thinking the same thing. Well, I don't know what he's doing. I'm going next. And everyone will be going at the same time. And then when I got back, I didn't realize the first day I kind of went out, I must have got bumped into like four times in the street. And I remember thinking, there's a whole pavement. Why is everyone? And it's weird, isn't it? The world around us is so fast and so intense. And why did I say that? Because I think when we read this stuff, it can almost be squashed out of us. And then we find ourselves becoming a bit cold and a bit intense. And I've had to really help myself by grabbing on these verses and reminding myself that I'm meant to be salt and light in the world. I mustn't be caught up in the drama and the quickness of life, you know. As the church, Christ's body, we expand his reign by witnessing boldly. So Acts 1:8 is one of my favourites. The whole book of Acts actually is my favourite. And we'll come into land, I promise. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. I've squashed those two together. And to all the ends of the earth. Everywhere we go, we witness by word or in deed. A kind word, gesture, not just preaching at people, but being present and showing the light of Christ. So what do we see here for us at Underhill? I put, and this is a question really for me and for us, seeking the kingdom is not passive, it's active. Spirit-empowered participation in God's ongoing work to renew all things. Active participation. You know, because church is so underrated, and I kept saying this, you know, coming to church on a Sunday, it's so underrated, isn't it? It's like, what's that thing I've got to do again? Could it be it's the one time that God could do something in your life? Or could say something to you at that precise day, the day you didn't expect to hear from God? So I always think, here's like a hotbed of opportunity and potential. Firstly, it's the gathering place that he's given us, but two, it's a place that God wants to speak, God wants to minister, God wants to respond. I'm going to finish with a quote. Is everyone with me? Have I lost anyone? I haven't. Everyone's with me, right? Okay. I know it's a lot, but first things first, I think that for Underhill, for us, you've been doing it faithfully for years. All I'm trying to do is put some practical legs on it, maybe. It'd be a good way to explain that for you. You know, and I've heard a couple of testimonies this morning. It was a really good illustration of practical legs on deep spirit, because sometimes we can over-spiritualize seeking God. And I think Matthew is actually, I suppose I see Jesus there really trying to give us practical tips and not over-spiritualize what he's doing. Don't worry about stuff, I've got it. You do my work, I'll take care of your work. Done. Here's a quote, and this is, anyone know Hudson Taylor? Anyone know the story of Hudson Taylor? He made a quote here that I like. God's work done God's way will never lack supply. God's work done God's way never lack supply. And he used this phrase that I put here to express his conviction that if we are truly doing God's will in alignment with his methods and timing, God will always provide. I always had a quote I always used to say, which was, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Or wherever there's vision, there's provision. And I do believe that. And so while I'm not here to cast vision, God has a vision, and I think this is it. This is part of it. And so I want to encourage you. I'm gonna. Do we have time to open the floor quickly a little bit? It's probably getting on a bit, isn't it? Or yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm sure everyone's completely worn out hearing all. It's been quite a big one today, but yeah. So I really do believe, guys, that God's, we're on the precipice of something exciting here. I really do believe that. I don't know how that's going to come. I know what I can do, and I'm going to do what I know I can. And I know all those gifts that God gave me, the evangelistic part, the being around people, I'm going to use my natural God-given talents to help that. But I've been very careful to stop myself from overreaching that, thinking that I'm going to do something here that's going to make this work. And I suppose that's what I'm trying to give us here, is that this is going to be a faith step for us, because God is going to do it. But I think he's going to bring it in means that are beyond us. Does that make sense? Is anyone encouraged? Is everyone excited? Yes. Two of you, yeah, great. So that's two people in. The rest of you, you'll warm up later on. The service ain't over yet. Gosh, closing prayer. And then we're going to do the family song. Oh, we've got another song. We've got a reflection song. Sorry. Gosh, we ain't got time for it? We're going to do, it's my favourite song, actually. So, yeah, So this would be the final, I'll stop talking. This will say it for us. It's one of my favourite songs, Yet I Not Christ in Me. And I sing this all the time as a reminder. So let's stand. Move your body around to wake yourself up a bit. If you're hearing a lot of stuff and God's moving and probably challenging a lot of stuff. But let's sing this and let's ask God to have his way.
Of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. My hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. Still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Barbara, we thank you, Father Lord, as we sing that song, Lord. It reinforces to us, Father Lord, that the pressure isn't on us, Father Lord. It's not based on our performance, Lord, but it was based on yours. The gospel is about your story of your redemption and your sacrifice, Lord, for us. Thank you, Lord, that that wasn't placed on us, but Lord, that you gave it to us freely. Lord, it wasn't cheap, but it was free. And we thank you, Lord, that we're free and strengthened to know that it's not I, Lord, but it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. We thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're gonna do the family song.
Family song, yes.
Okay, I'm gonna turn this over. I don't like me standing here during that.
Children will come in. There was only one song really. Penny chose it, but after the sermon, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So come and get a stream.
Grace.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore.
Amen.
And if you're able, please do stay for refreshments. Please continue to get to know Martin and Sandra, and hopefully see some of you tomorrow morning.